Fantastic. Well, we want to welcome you at all of our locations across the state of Montana, Kalispell and Whitefish, Billings and Bozeman, Missoula, Church Online, those of you joining us on the radio station. This is the 2014 Fresh Life Rewind.
Yeah.
And I'm joined here by my much better half, Jenny. And this is a time, Jen, for us to, as a church, look back at the things that we've learned before barreling down on the future. Mm-hmm. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1 says, "It is crucial that we keep a firm grip on what we've heard, otherwise we will drift off."
Wow.
And I think that's really what is constantly something that needs to be in our minds. You know, we go through these lessons and these seasons and these times where we learn these great truths that God gives to us. And I think that life is happening so fast. If we don't ever once in a while take some time to look back, you know, we will miss out on so much that we've heard.
Right. It's so true. Because every series, every message, there's so much. I feel like I leave a weekend and I'm overwhelmed by how much truth and how much God was speaking to me. And I feel like even going through the week and asking God to like put those things in my heart is so good. But to even just go back, and I love how we emphasize that and how we do this, because it's so important to look back and to remember, oh, these things from months ago, like God was putting that in me. And so it's just so great that we can do this together as a church and just remember and reflect.
Totally.
And so good.
I've been enjoying looking back at some of the different hashtags and even just seeing from a series perspective what people who have gone through it have learned. And what's crazy is you'll click a hashtag for a series, and not only will you see all the things that people have had to say who were learning in our church at the time, but then you'll see people who are in different parts of the country listening to podcasts. Like, it might be a series from 40 weeks ago, but you'll see a hashtag from 3 days ago because someone in Ohio stumbled on the podcast or the app, and they're watching it and getting blessed by it all over again, getting stirred up in their faith. So.
Yeah.
This is our third year doing it, a chance to reflect and to end the year on a high note, cherry picking some of the best lessons we've remembered and then making sure they're a part of our mindset and mentality as we face the future.
Right.
Well, in addition to, of course, the communication that we've had from within our own house, we've had some friends, some big brothers of the house come in and we've put together a little look back at some of the friends who have spoken into the Fresh Life House in the past year. Let's check that out.
Jesus doesn't say, "Look, this is the way, but I am not willing to go there." He's like, "Look, I'm going to go there, and I want you just to follow along. I'm going to blaze the trail."
Your actions can actually be a declaration of the goodness of God.
Jesus was not comfortable on the cross when he spread his arms. We can't be comfortable here when we open our heart and we open our hands.
Our God wants to bless your life. This is not positive thinking. This is Bible thinking.
Maybe it's a sign that the devil has seen the potential that God put inside of you and knows there's no way I can keep them out.
If they wanted perfect healing protocol, Jesus was spitting on his hand, smacking people in the face, and they were seeing again.
Your actions may be the only sermon some people ever hear.
God cannot refrain himself from blessing your life. He can't hold back. You are a son. You are a daughter of the Most High God. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to be fulfilled. He is not against you. He is for you.
When we keep our eyes on Jesus, we will walk on water. We will walk on water. Miracles will happen.
It might be raining on you, but Jesus is still your shelter. It might not look great, but he is still perfect. It might look like it's over, but it's not, because Jesus never changes. Don't stop on 6. Don't stop now. Don't quit now. Cry if you gotta cry. Hurt if you gotta hurt. But don't you stop.
Oh my God. Just that little 2-minute taste is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, I want to go to this church. I mean, it's just so good. The level of communicators that God has given us access to here.
Incredible.
I mean, you could travel around the country and go to any conference you want to go to, and you're not going to hear better preaching. You get to hear that God's given us access to.
Yeah.
I'm so thankful for that.
Yeah.
A couple highlights from that. The Being Rich series was so impactful to me.
Yeah. I feel like, from what Pastor Craig was sharing just with letting it be mine, like, oh, that's mine, that one's mine. Yeah. Like, I feel like that's just always in our vocabulary of like, okay, that one's mine, that one's mine. Oh, that was mine, but I missed my opportunity
or whatever.
Like, that's always like on the front of my mind.
The different way of looking at it. I think so many of us don't look at ourselves as being rich.
Yeah.
But when you realize that, you know, by the world standards, we're wealthy, and that we have wealthy people do different things. Mm-hmm. We are called to live at that higher level,
right.
and just to embrace the power of generosity. Pastor Stephen's message is a problem with Pinterest. So stinking good.
Oh my God.
Taking that we are a veil-free church,
right.
And we're a work in progress. And then, of course, don't stop on six to view every lap, to view every opportunity as though it were your last, and then one day you'll be right.
Yeah.
What did God speak to you through the two messages we heard from Pastor Carl this year?
Oh, gosh. Always only Jesus. Jeez. I'm sorry.
I liked that. No, it's good. It had a special way about it.
I just love so much that... I don't even know if it's in here. Oh, there it is.
By the way, I don't know if we can get a shot of these notes. These are my wife's notes. So this was like her actually note sitting in Always Only Jesus. Her notes are a stinking work of art. They judge me.
I don't know where the colors came
from. Your notes judge me. You know, we said during the Let It Be series that when you go to a museum, you're not judging the paintings are judging you. Your notes are judging me right now, and they're really good.
Oh, you're sweet.
So Always Only Jesus was phenomenal. The stinking Church in the Wild.
Oh
message.
My gosh. I wrote something down that don't miss the miracle that's right in front of your face. Religion wants the process, but Jesus wants the power. The casualty of a growing, thriving church, the Church in the Wild, is personal comfort. It was just wild and crazy and just the heartbeat of who we are and who we want to continue to be as we walk. Like, it was so amazing. I love the practical thing that he said of picking something that reminds you that it's not about you.
So
like in that week, he said, this week, pick something that's not about you, that reminds you that this is not about you.
Every week.
And I just recently heard one of our worship leaders has decided to, for a month, to help with the greeters. And I don't know what that will continue to look like, but I love that idea of just doing something different, doing something that kind of gets you out of your comfort zone and reminds you that, how can I serve instead of being served or whatever.
I received that from the Lord. It's just something for us in this season of our church that we needed to hear, and perhaps more than anything, that Church in the Wild.
Yeah.
I would encourage everyone to go back and listen to that again. That's something we're bringing into this new year for sure.
Absolutely.
And then, of course, Pastor Chad Veach and Pastor Daniel Fusco. I mean, a moment maker with our friend Carlos.
Carlos,
as we learn to be moment makers. Come on, it feels so good to say it on the three. Say it with me. One, two, three.
Carlos.
Fantastic. And learning to be moment makers. And so our guest speakers we had, you know, scattered throughout the years during O2 runs or school church runs or just because. Mm. Amazing level of communicators we get to hear from. Such
right.
a joy.
Right.
And then our first formal series of the year was Sorry Not Sorry. Of course, we did have our year kickoff, Running with Horses, the remix, as we talked about being frequent flyers and the cream and sugar mentality that we want to have going into the new year. But that was really kind of a vision time. But the first actual series was Sorry Not Sorry.
This was such a powerful series for our relationships, for any relationships that we're in, whether marriages, friendships, parents and children, so powerful for us to learn these things that help us as we deal with each other and as we sin against each other and as we forgive. And I just love how all of the message had a thread through them, and they were, so each of them, one was, or they were all, come clean, ownership, no more, forgiveness, ego, straight away, and similarly, and all of them together say confess. And we have that little card on our fridge that you gave out to everyone, and I love that reminder. It's so good, but it's so funny because honestly, as much as these truths have, I feel like God's been just working in me these things that that we learned. And I still remember, which I'm so thankful for, that God brings these things to my mind. But in that, I do find myself saying a lot of the time, I know I'm not supposed to say I'm sorry, but.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, but.
Oh, totally. I think this series, first of all, in some ways I wish I could take it back and never preach it.
I know.
Because whenever you've learned something, you're held accountable to that standard.
Right.
The Bible says to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin.
Yeah.
So for whatever reason, the Lord had us spend 7 weeks learning how to say I'm sorry properly.
Yeah.
It almost is awful to know that, because now I have that nagging voice in my head telling me I'm not allowed to say but.
Yeah.
Telling me I'm not allowed to say, you know, I'm sorry that you were offended.
Right.
I'm sorry that I hurt your feelings.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the truth is that being able to repent and forgive is the lifeblood of any friendship,
right.
Of any relationship.
Right.
Because it's not if there's a schism, it's not if there's a fight, it's when.
Right.
And so learning to work through these things, it was some series are meant to be like pour spiritual Red Bull down your veins. Some series, this was a physical therapy series, you know. This was it hurts every time, but I'm going to be better for it after it's over.
Yeah, yeah.
And so totally. I think that's going to be something that God's going to continue to use.
Yeah, I think so. I think what I love just... the sincerity, how you need the sincerity to really truly apologize and to forgive, and also God's grace. You said a few quotes, when you let go of grudges, it releases God's grace. And if you want grace, you got to give grace. And I was telling my Fresh Life group recently that I want to be more like Daisy, our 4-year-old. She, when her sisters bug her or hurt her, usually is when
Clover
hurt her, when
hauls
Clover
off and hits her.
Pulls her hair, or whatever. And Clover says, sorry, Daisy's so quick.
It's okay.
To forgive her. It's
like wall
so
crying.
Sweet. I know.
And so just to be at a place where we have a tender conscience,
yeah.
A tender spirit, and we're quick to forgive.
Mm-hmm.
And then knowing, like, when you wrong someone, to actually ask that question,
yeah.
Like, will you forgive me?
Yeah.
Giving them that power back.
Right.
Accepting the wrong you did, calling it wrong,
mm-hmm.
Not excusing it, not in any way, you know, making what you did okay or justified,
yeah.
But to actually come clean in that way.
Yeah.
And then we ended the series by telling how to actually receive an apology,
yeah.
And just have that spirit of letting the forgiveness that Christ has given to us on the cross fuel how we respond when people sin against us.
Right.
And we don't want to be have big head, high horse, tight pants.
Yeah.
Nor do we want to be the person who could receive the forgiveness of all of our sins and then go and hold a grudge against someone who's done something relatively small in comparison.
Yeah.
To us.
Yeah.
So I think for a long time that's going to be of great benefit to us.
Definitely.
Well, from Sorry Not Sorry, we moved into the Blast Off series, which was a controlled burn.
Yeah.
Let's look back and remember that. Here's what I found about the Holy Spirit. It seems to me that the accompanying feelings are motion activated. You ever get on a treadmill? And you're standing there not doing nothing, just looking at it, like punching all the buttons. It's not working. I don't know, is it plugged in? It doesn't even have a plug. It's motion activated. Start moving, Bubba, and you'll see stuff on the screen. What does it look like to be filled with the Spirit? Oh, you'll be humble. Isn't that funny? Huge power. Power from on high. What's that going to do? Is that going to cause you to stick out your chest and act like you're a big deal because you're a superhero? You're the human torch. No, you want to look for the human torch? Look for someone who is humbled by what God has done. It's the Spirit of God working through the Word of God that can change people and turn them into the man or woman of God that they were meant to be. You've been given the Holy Spirit of God without measure. You have gifts to use. You have a part to play because the Holy Spirit wants to use you. Not someday, today.
Come on.
I feel, Jenny, that the Control Burn series, you know, will be one of the pivotal before after points of our church,
yeah,
and our history and our journey. You know, it was A.W. Tozer who said that if the Holy Spirit were taken away from the church today, from the world today, most churches would take 3 months to figure out he was gone.
Gosh.
And I want our church to live so dependent on the Holy Spirit's power that we're doing things that unless he intervenes, we're going to fail.
Yeah.
That we would notice in 3 minutes.
Yeah.
That it would be like an astronaut having the oxygen cut off, where immediately we're like, what's going on? Why is our lifeblood gone that we're so dependent on him like that?
Right.
And to join us talking about this series, we have a couple of our phenomenal worship leaders, Kevin and Shayla. Welcome to the room. And we have a special interaction we want to have with you guys about a component of the Control and Burden series in a moment. But Jenny, what did you think God was speaking to us through the series that we really want to not let go of?
Yeah. Well, like you said, I mean, for us to be operating and reaching out and ministering and risking the ocean, for us to realize where the power comes from and who the Holy Spirit is and what he does and what he wants to do in and through us. I feel like this is just so vital for us to be understanding where and who our power comes from as Christians, as we're living, as we're seeking to live these lives powerfully, and how can we be powerful if we don't understand the power that we have access to.
Yeah.
And I think something that you tell me often, because I'm more of the timid type mostly, but for when you tell me, Jenny, you have the same spirit inside you that raised Christ from the dead.
Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, you told me that the night that I was sharing at Lenya's celebration, like you, and that just changes it. It changes everything because it's not me. It's not just me. God's using me. But it's the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead.
We have an uninterruptible power supply.
Exactly.
The lights can go off, the power can go out, but we have this fuel within us, greater than what powers the Saturn V rocket, greater than a million horsepower. We have the power of God inside of our hearts.
Yes.
And if we get that, it changes everything.
Exactly. And what I love, one of the things you said was, this is just as much for a mother in the kitchen as it is for the preacher in the pulpit. And I love so much that the Holy Spirit is in us, indwelling in us, wanting to move through us and reach other people through us, whether no matter what we're doing, no matter what position we have or what role we play or who we are, God wants to use us in our daily life, regardless of who we are.
And you know, this series had a unique genesis in that a few years back, a good friend of mine spoke into my life, and I felt like he spoke words from the Holy Spirit to me about the Holy Spirit, about our church. And one of the things he said was, this is a season for you to, as a leader, pray through what it's going to look like to ramp up the Holy Spirit, ratchet up the quotient of relying on the Holy Spirit and what Fresh Life Church could look like with a full reliance on the Spirit of God. The world will be different.
Absolutely.
And as we learned in the series, I mean, we cannot put out the devil's fire and set the world on fire if we are not on fire ourselves.
Exactly.
Because we're going to fight fire with fire.
Yep.
And that was that kind of like juxtaposition.
Right.
And there's a fear involved. There's an uncertainty involved in that. There's a wildness to fire. It's outside of our control. We can't contain it. All we can do is facilitate it.
Yeah.
But then knowing that there is going to be an aspect of order to it all. It's not just like wild, you know, behavior, because the Bible says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet.
Hmm.
And so it is that perfect picture of the burning bush, where it was on fire, but not consumed. So it's that balance. And it's knowing that falling, like we said in the series, the devil doesn't care if we fall off one side of the horse or the other side. He just doesn't want us to ride the horse.
Right.
You know, and so knowing that on one side, there's the frothing, frenzied, foaming at the mouth that people equate with being filled with the Spirit. But then we said in the series that neglect is abuse too.
Right.
So we don't want to abuse him by, you know, blaming things on him that are not him, where he's looking at us going, that's not me. I didn't do that. Didn't do that. But we also don't want the other side where it's this dry, we don't rely on the Spirit's power too. So it's that middle that is so difficult to maintain. But when you get that sweet spot right, watch out.
Yeah, I feel like we've seen such a difference already. I mean, taking steps of faith, knowing that we're not alone, knowing that we're activating the power of the Spirit in our lives. Like, I just feel like and more, I'm just so excited to see, like, as we continue to depend on the Spirit, as we continue to step out in faith, in power, like, there's no stop to what God can do through us as we trust in him in that way.
Heck yeah, blast off. Kevin, what was your favorite thing we learned in the Control Burn series?
I think one of the things that stood out to me is when you were talking about a life that's characterized by the Holy Spirit being evident, being the Holy Spirit being on a person's life, and you talked about how your capabilities are unlocked, and just seeing like my potential as a believer, as somebody who's been changed by God, to now walk in and grow in and be empowered to do things greater than I could ever imagine. And just knowing that like the way that he designed me is now able to come to life through the power of the Holy Spirit.
So good.
I think that was kind of a big thing that I took home.
Wow. We're all like superheroes, just needing to figure out exactly where he's put those talents.
Right.
And only the Spirit can unlock those things. And then like we illustrated with the hand and the glove, what's taking up the space in our lives that we need to get out, that toy, so to speak, in the glove that keeps our hand from going in. Mm-hmm. But if we would be filled with power from on high, we'd be unstoppable.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, through the series, we also released one of maybe our favorite songs that we've written and been singing that's been written in the Fresh Life House. Yeah. And that song was called Fall Afresh, which Shayla, you wrote the bulk of that song. And that was a really special thing. Yeah. So good. And I came to you guys within the worship community, you know, as you've got a whole great team around you, Kevin, of songwriters and singers and worship leaders and musicians. And we have assembled sort of this like posse of, you know, like songwriters. And I came to you guys and I said, I'm going to do a series on the Holy Spirit. And I want you guys to write a song. And all I am going to ask is that you'll include the phrase, Spirit of the Living God, Fall Afresh on Me, which comes from an old song that was written in like the 1920s in a revival in Orlando that I grew up singing as a kid. But I wanted it kind of modernized, you know? And what you came up with, Shayla, with Fall Afresh that we've been singing has just been phenomenal. So tell us a little bit about the process of writing that song.
Oh, man. Well, I really like writing songs. So it wasn't like you're like, all right, I want you to do something that you're going to not enjoy doing. So that was...
Correct. You have a capability that God's unlocked in.
Yeah. He gave that to me. So I really liked, you know, starting that out. But I definitely felt when I was working on it, like, okay, this song's about the Holy Spirit. I really don't want to mess this up. Like,
no pressure. You have one job.
So I had a lot of versions of it, but I kept feeling like I've just got to keep going because... this isn't it, you know, like, because I feel like a lot of times when you're making something, like, your first draft or whatever, like, you feel tempted to just stick with that, and sometimes your first draft is a song, like, a whole song, and you're like, nope, going in the garbage can, okay, let's do this again, like, let's do this again, but yeah, I finally got to the point where I felt like, all right, you're overthinking things. What, like, how are you wanting to worship God right now, you know? And so I was like, I don't know if this is going to, you know, connect with other people in the same way that it's going to connect with me, but it meant something in my heart, and
it came out phenomenal.
Yeah.
And what I think has been so cool, though, has been as you and your team have been writing these songs, and we've been working together hand in hand, like, hey, what about this? We need to find a way to sing this. I feel like there's a whole new power that's been unlocked through it, because we're learning things and we're living them out, but now we're also getting to sing back to God and declare these truths that we're learning and living.
Yeah.
And I feel like we kind of have both wings on the airplane now, and there's a real liftoff that's been achieved through that. So thank you guys so much for using your gifts and just making this church better, making our lives better through your passion.
Yeah.
We appreciate that. So good.
And some of us are visual learners, and this year we had quite a few opportunities to learn visually. And so play with toys.
All sorts of different things.
All sorts of different things.
We put together a little bumper reel. Check this out.
Our children, which the Bible says are like arrows in the hands of a warrior, there are so many different kinds of arrows. Is it going to rain?
Yes, we should see some rain between today and Friday.
That's so helpful. I have here the pieces that have the potential to collaborate together to form a car, but to do that would require them losing their individual identity. Instead of thinking about us as a team, we think about a game called Me. A game called Me. And so whether it's slamming and exploding or it's pocketing the ball, whatever you're doing, here's what you're not doing. Allowing the rally to continue. Do not hate on the seed. See past the seed. see the harvest that the seed can become.
God, fill me. He's like, well, look, there's not room for me. He can't burn what's already burning. How'd they get to $18 billion? Factory burned to the ground. And then they realized the power of a bunch of different things sticking together. Put down the soccer ball, and I'd take a pillow. I'd take a couple pillows, and I'd go find a quiet place in the locker room. And I'd lie down like it's nap time.
And when you get in bed, you're like, you don't really care about your comfort, but in the morning, you care about your comfort a lot. Don't look at me like that. It's true.
We don't want to be the kind of parents who are hovering over our kids like the all-seeing eye.
And when God passes over this house, God's going to go, oh, I don't need to let death go into this house because something already died.
He's like, I can't steer you because you're not moving. But when you start pedaling, he's able to start steering.
And then God began to speak to my heart. How many zeros? And the answer is until there's no one left to reach, until there's nobody who's hurting, until there's no corner of Montana where we haven't seen people who are hopeless come to know the hope of our Savior.
Well, the thing is, the original idea was actually to shoot an apple off Josh Bauer's head, but we checked with our insurance company and they would revoke our policy, so we went.
Oh my God!
With that, but you know those things, they tend to help. You know, they make stuff sticky.
And they really do. And I was just so amazed because I had a hard time when we were playing ping pong. I had a hard time tracking with you, like and saying amen. Like I can't imagine actually preaching and playing at the same time, and you did it. And
well,
it's just so funny.
That was good. Preaching with the help of Google was good when she played along with me. you know, it was a fun year of learning.
Yeah.
The next series after that was Sometimes, Always, Never. It was a short but powerful examination of what it means to live in the will of God.
Mm.
And for me, this was a blowing up of perhaps what the will of God isn't in the life of a Christian.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt like it was just so incredibly necessary and needed. And I loved how short and sweet it was, too. And it's been such a tool for me, for me in my own life, but also as I've been talking with people and whether it's counseling or praying or whatever, getting to point them to this series. And it's just so easy because it's like, oh, it's just a two-part message.
It's funny.
And I really, even today, I was talking to someone saying, this is such a great resource and tool for someone who's really trying to figure out God's will for their lives. Because it's so simple. It's so just, it's basic stuff, but it's just stuff that we really need to remember that, all the things that we need to be growing in.
Yeah, the 5G living.
Yeah.
Because the series, the way it broke down, and it's funny that you mentioned that because how someone told you that it's impacted you.
Yeah.
I mean, I put all this work into these long series and they all have like letters and spell things out. And, you know, but then the one that people will come talk to me about is a little two-week, little kind of like, it was a cool little thing. But I probably have heard more people come to me and say, thank you for that Sometimes, Always, Never series.
Right.
That has helped me navigate. I've been making this decision and this helped me out. And it has caught me off guard, the way it's resonated with people. But the first message was 5G living. And those 5Gs, if you can, this is the will of God.
Right.
8 days a week.
Yeah.
If you can get into this rhythm, then you're going to know God's will in this area.
Yeah.
And then the second part was how does it play out when it's murky? How does it play out when it isn't certain? How do you navigate where you're off the revealed will of God? And what we learned was of the will of God, when you're in 5G living, when you have reception on the screen of your soul,
yeah,
then when it comes to God's will, well, you can confidently say, I'm doing it right now. And what a liberating just way to look at your life.
Yeah, so true. And just, the 5Gs, for those of you who may not know, it was growing in grace, growing in a grove, being planted in the house, growing in giving, growing in godliness, and growing in gratitude.
Yeah.
And when those things are working well and those wheels are moving and working, then God can speak to you the more of the bigger things and seemingly.
And keep pedaling because God does better with a moving target.
Yeah,
so good. All right, so as we mentioned, we've had different people tell us their favorite series. We've had people write in. We wanted to hear one of those stories from someone whose life was impacted through the ministry this year. Check this out.
So I've suffered with high anxiety my whole life, mostly been social anxiety. I don't know if you can relate with that, but you just feel really nervous all the time. It's like I'm so embarrassed by my own existence and what other people are thinking about me that I can't function normally. I get nervous about everything. Sometimes I don't even know why I'm anxious. I just am, and no one seems to understand it. I grew up in church, but it was never anything serious, you know? I found Fresh Life online, and after watching a message and giving my life over to Christ, my life has completely turned around. It's actually been a few weeks, but my anxiety is gone. I don't know if you can understand how incredible that is when you've been too terrified to leave the house except for work, and then just have that fear be gone. I can get out of the house and I can talk to people pretty comfortably and be perfectly fine because I know God is with me and loves me no matter what. He will never see me as anything other than perfect.
When you're covered in God's grace, God always sees you as perfect. That's the end of the story. We need to learn to look at people not for what they are, but for what they could be and what they will be when God gets a hold of them. We can't save anyone, but Jesus can save everyone. And so we will warn, and so we will preach, and so we will reach until our dying breath.
So mysterious. That was the creepiest soundtrack. It set me on edge. I kept waiting for Jaws to come out and take the ship down. So good. So we went seafaring through scripture. It was a look at some of the boat stories in the Bible.
Yeah.
From the smallest to the biggest.
Yeah. I felt like it was just such a fun series, a perfect summer series, because it was kind of like just little snapshots, and if someone was on vacation, came back, like hopefully they caught the podcast, but it was just kind of a smattering. But seriously, each message was so good in this series. I'd have to say, if I had to pick, which sometimes you ask me what my favorites are.
What's your favorite, baby?
Well, I'd have to say my two favorites would be Abandoned Ship and Taking on Water, and those are both
Abandoned Ship was Jesus calling the disciples to leave their nets and follow him.
Yeah.
Taking on Water was the stilling of the storm in the Sea of Galilee.
And I think I love those so much.
So what you got against the Old Testament?
Well, I love the other ones too, and
no,
it's always
kidding.
Hard to pick. But I love getting to see Jesus, and I love getting to see how he loves his disciples. And I was telling someone the other day, like, Jesus was so patient with the people in his life, and he just is such a great example of even just being a parent, because you got your disciples like freaking out one minute, and then they're like saying the right thing and doing good things the next second, and then it's just they're so out of control and crazy, but Jesus is just so like kind and gentle and up, like truthful and tough love. But I love getting to see him.
Yeah, so good. My snapshots or my highlights of the series was, ironically, I was looking at my notes, the first and the last.
Hmm.
The first was the lifeboat, Noah.
Yeah.
And my highlight from that was the rainbows.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember how much I nerded out on rainbows.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, I was like putting rainbows up everywhere in my life at that point, in my heart. But just this idea of there's always potentially rainbows there if you put your back at the sun, sun at your back, and something in front of you that's difficult. It takes that dark backdrop for a rainbow to exist,
yeah.
and just that we'll never get to see the full rainbow till heaven because there's a rainbow around the throne of God, and just so much about rainbow. I'm gonna go
rainbows
off on rainbows.
Are
I'm gonna go off on rainbows are personal. That one's for me.
Yeah.
No one else sees your rainbow.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah.
And then I loved like it just happened to be like really rainy in Montana after that series. And so that week, the next day, everyone around the state's like posting there, that's my rainbow. You get your own dang rainbow. That one, that's my rainbow. Rainbows are personal.
Yeah.
I also, that was my favorite, the first.
Yeah.
And then the last, which was Shipwreck, which was Paul on this boat, the prison ship to Rome, no big deal. God paying for his dream to come true that he had promised him from way back when.
Yeah.
And then the shipwreck on Malta and the idea of Paul, who was a leader without a title, because leadership's a lifestyle, not a title.
Right.
And so he was a leader without being called a leader.
Right.
He made life better for those on the boat with him.
Right.
And then we got to see him shipwreck on the island. He picks the wood up to make a fire, gets burnt by the snake, because whenever you try and light a fire, the devil's going to try and stop you.
Yeah.
And what does he do? He shakes it off. He pulls a Taylor Swift. He shakes that snake right into the same fire and made it burn brighter.
Yep.
And so as we light our fire, as we burn bright, we know the enemy's going to attack us. There's going to be criticism. There's going to be opponents. And we just have to get real good at just shaking that snake into the same fire that caused it and burning brighter, not letting our fire be diminished because of the venom, not letting those things stop us or discourage us, but burning brighter for us. So that was that was a real good time. And I feel like there's some reasons to go back and remember some of those truths.
But
from there, we learned how to embrace the goodness of God, even when life is bad, from our boy Habakkuk in the Old Testament.
Hi, everyone. I'm Olaf, and I like warm hugs.
How about a hug?
The beautiful thing is this series gave us the excuse to show Olaf in church, which you can never get too much Frozen.
I love
except
Olaf.
When we first got it on DVD, which caused us to have nothing but Frozen for.
I sang it in my dreams and I'd wake up singing it in the morning.
It's disturbing. We were through the Old Testament book of Habakkuk, learning how to confront the issues of what God does and allows in the world that we don't understand, not allowing us to give up what we do.
Yeah.
And I feel like this for everybody in every season is something we need to know in order to grow.
Right. Yeah, this was so special. I just learning to hold on tightly to God in the midst of pain and
which is what Habakkuk means.
Yeah.
His name means embracer.
Yeah.
One who hugs. And he didn't know why God was doing something, but he said, I'm just gonna hold on to you anyway.
Right.
I don't know, but I'm not gonna let go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and just the importance of God is the only one. I remember when we were in the kind of the depths of our grief and pain, and people would say, God is the only one that can hold us and take care of us. And so many people run the other way where he's the only one who's the remedy and who can help. And you had said, a quote you had said was so many people hurt needlessly behind God's back, but we need to hurt with him.
Heck yeah.
And holding on tight, hugging him, yeah. saying, if you're leaving, I'm coming with you type of thing.
Totally.
I can't do this without you.
You know, holding on to what we know.
Yeah.
So we can rise up above it all.
Right.
Because so many people think, well, because I have this new thing introduced in my life, I don't understand, I'm going to let go of what I do. But it's like, no, you know what? I don't know why God would allow this. I don't know why, but I'm going to believe he has a plan. Yeah. The just shall live by faith. And in the meantime, I'm going to rise up above it all yeah. in worship yep. and see what he'll say to me. Yeah. Habakkuk up all up on his watchtower. And I love so much that as you're maybe joining into the church now, maybe you started coming a month ago, you're like, I don't know anything about a Hug It Out series. You can join the app. You can get the podcast and you can go back and watch past series. Yeah. You can learn from Habakkuk this week or maybe something new comes into your life that you weren't struggling with when you first went through the series.
Yeah.
I love that we can go back and we have the freedom to bring these things with us and continue to learn from them.
Yeah.
This series, you know, we talked about Legos and how, you know, these things stack together and how many millions of combinations there are when you have six Legos or eight Legos
crazy.
And how God can take all these pieces he's handing to you and you don't understand them individually, but as we trust him to be a stacker mm-hmm. and to stack all these things together
yeah.
for our good, that eventually the willingness to struggle through it, to hug through it, to embrace through it is going to release strength in our life.
Yeah.
And like a butterfly that's coming out of the cocoon, it's hard, but if we just keep fighting through it, we're gonna be able to soar.
Right.
We, in these different series we go through, we often use the launch of a new series as a great opportunity to bring someone with you. But we decided that we need to have a user guide for how to invite someone to Fresh Life. And you'll need this for the new year to bring all your friends. So check this out.
Cap for Wes. For Wes.
Hey, you were on Comedy Central, right?
What?
Yeah, you must have been because this roast is incredible.
Failure.
Cap for Wes.
Hey, thanks, man. We're starting this new series at my church this weekend. It's gonna be really cool. You should drop by.
So yeah, I hate church and God.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. So.
Cap for Wes.
Hey man, we're starting this new series at our church this weekend. It's gonna be really cool. I think you should drop by.
Yeah, man. Maybe I'll check it out. Sounds cool.
My goodness gracious, that video. The best is every time that would play in any of our worship experiences, watching people jump when the arrow finally, you knew it was coming, but it was just something about it.
Mm-hmm.
And joining us right here on the Rewind stage is Sarah Trammell and Ruthie Krager.
Yay.
And these girls all had a part to play in this movie. Let's welcome them here. So glad to have you guys. That's right. Sarah, you had a starring role in it. So great. Remember us when you're famous, please. And then Ruthie, you were a part of the team that actually made this movie.
Yes.
And so exciting. And I'll just say this, that Arrow series, Hug It Out, Controlled Burn, Sometimes Always Never, like hearing them all together in one little space, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, my God, thank you so much for all the things we got to learn this year. It's been just one thing after another.
Yeah.
And I feel like in a good year, you might have a couple like that, but God's given us so many phenomenal truths to go through.
Amazing.
Now, what's cool about that is obviously the creative aspect and getting to see a little bit of the behind the scenes with the pop-up. I mean, Ruthie, what was it like pulling off? This was one of our bigger, you know, more intense productions we've ever done for a series before.
Yeah, I mean, it's always a unique challenge to kind of take the vision that you've given us for these series and kind of spin them in a visual way that people can kind of watch on a screen and connect with.
Mm.
For this video, it was really fun. We had the whole creative team to get together, hashing out ideas, throwing things at the wall, see if they stick. Mm. And it was kind of ended up into this Voices of the Void type of deal where we have these characters running through the woods and they're hearing all these voices that are trying to distract them and discourage them. You know, you're not good enough. You're never going to make it. And they're running towards this goal and they finally reach it and it's this target. And, you know, they lift up their bow and arrow to shoot and all the voices fade away and, you know, they're only focused on hitting the target.
Mm. I love that. Yeah. And I love hearing you talk about it and your passion for it.
Yeah.
I just love how God's given so many people so many different abilities and skills. And Sarah, what was that like, painting your face, putting on a leather outfit and running through the woods like a wild savage, you know? What was that like?
It was fun. It was cold and it was wet, but it was fun. I felt more like I was stumbling through the forest.
Yeah.
You know, Ruthie would tell me, like, run, and I would, like, there'd be holes, and so the creative team did an amazing job making me look
that.
More fierce than
I love
I was.
That you said, I heard you said that you felt stupid doing it, but then you saw it, and you're like, I look pretty stinking cool.
Yeah.
And I actually thought that's, like, insightful, though, because so often the things in the moment that are the right thing, we do feel a certain amount of foolishness about it.
Yeah.
But then later on, when you see God working through our foolishness for Him,
totally.
The outcome is cool.
Yeah.
And Sarah, I don't want to make you cry, but I do want to say you and Coy have been just a part of this thing from the very beginning. Mm-hmm. Your husband Coy and you and your family, and you guys just mean the world to us as a church. Mm-hmm. So thank
We're
you. When I say I don't want to make you cry, what I mean is I want to try and make you cry. Because
I prepared because I thought you would try.
That's one of my goals always.
So all day I've been trying.
Because you're very emotional,
to not cry.
Like commercials, movies. You just get. You just think.
Oh, gosh.
No, okay, sorry.
I'm not going to do it. I'm a rock.
You made me cry. I'm tearing up now just thinking about your commitment over the years.
Yeah.
But I also love, you know, this series, Arrows, that we're talking about here. This was Living Towards the Target. This was our parenting at the edge of eternity.
Yeah.
This was where we wanted to get the mentality of God's heartbeat for all of our homes.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the spin here because, Sarah, you're a mom of young girls. And Ruthie, you're a young girl who's now, you know, moving towards emancipation and freedom and your own calling in Christ. And I love this juxtaposition. So, Sarah, maybe we'll start off with you. What is it like raising young girls, and how did God use the Arrow series in your heart as a mom?
There's lots of crying in my house. It's not me usually, though.
There you go.
It's all the three girls.
It's usually Coy.
It's, yeah. That series was amazing, and I love there were so many little, like, phrases, and whether there was the name of the title of this, the teaching or a point, that it was so easy to take, like, just take it. And whether I write it somewhere in the house or it's, like, in my heart now, like, children are a blessing, not a burden, even though sometimes in the midst of the crying and the fighting and the cleaning up of the messes, and it can feel like this is not fun, like, this is a burden. And but knowing what my end game is. The end game is the target, living towards the target, and keeping that in mind, that that they are a blessing. They're not a burden. And
so good.
Yeah.
Okay, now to flip it, and this is almost becoming like Jerry Springer. And by the way, you guys are actually long lost sisters. But I love that because Sarah, you're a mom raising young girls, as Jenny and I are. Mm-hmm. And Ruthie, you are a young woman who's passionately serving the Lord, mm-hmm. using your gifts, the work you do, the caliber of the work you do. I've had pastors from churches all over the country be like, who made that movie? And I'm like, well, it was a team of people, but a big piece of it was this girl, Ruthie, who's all of 17 years old and absolutely unbelievable. Oh, yeah. And I'll tell you this. Ruthie. You give me hope. Yeah. You give Jen and I hope. Yeah. Raising these young girls, I know Sarah feels the same way. I want Olivia and Daisy and Clover to rise up in their callings as Linnea did in the 5 years she had, as you are. And so I want to ask you, and that's a credit, of course, to your mom and dad. I know you say that, but what was it like for you as a child learning in the Arrow series? And what would you say has been key to you rising up as you have some of these principles that are in action in your life?
Yeah, totally. This Arrow series is interesting because I'm not a mom. I don't have kids, but it really made me thankful for how my parents raised me. And you've pointed out a lot in this series, being planted in the house and being an important part of raising a child is to be growing in a grove.
Yeah.
And, you know, almost 7 years ago now, my parents decided that Fresh Life was going to be our home church, that this is where I was going to grow up. And, you know, growing up around this community of believers and of people that, you know, are totally dedicated to the code item, this is a youth-led movement, you know, and growing up around people that didn't view me as a little 13-year-old girl, that viewed me with respect and saw me as what I could be. You know, people like Kevin Guido who, you know, saw my videos and really pushed me to be better and invested in me and called me out to a higher calling. You know, just the importance of growing in a grove. And I'm so thankful that I was growing up here. So
wow.
Yeah.
Phenomenal. That's so good. Well, thank you guys so much. Real good. And in the Arrow series, I believe just a really important season and something we're not going to walk away from, these truths. We need those truths of living towards the target in the new year.
Right.
Well, from there, we move to Man Versus Himself, which was a very different tone entirely. Let's remember what that was all about. You are a creator. Why? Because you were created by a creator, an exceptional creator, not just an okay creator, like a phenomenal creator created you to create. You're not prepared to face the game without your game face. What if you put a pillow over your face and imagined yourself going into work and you've been mean to that coworker so many times and you lose your cool and you let them get your goat and your sister bugs you and goads you into a fight and this happens and she says this? And what if you actually see yourself doing what God's calling you to do? I'm loved. I'm chosen. I'm called. I'm equipped. I'm loved. I'm chosen. I'm called. I'm equipped. And the devil tries to bring up all the things you've done wrong and how you've messed up and how you're going to do it again. And you start to hear all the reasons why you shouldn't, why you can't, why you won't. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm loved. I'm equipped. Come on. You want to talk about the eye of the tiger, the thrill of the fight? That'll change everything. You walk out on the field with that kind of mentality.
So good. Man versus himself, learning the game before the game. One thing you said was before we can do great things out there, we first have to get things right in here.
Yeah.
And in preparation and figuring out as God is calling us, preparing our hearts. One of the verses that you brought up was, I forget what it was, but prepare your minds for action.
Yeah.
And I don't remember the rest of it, but we have that written up somewhere. But just preparing your minds. Yeah.
We so often miss that, you know, that inner step, the preparation. And this was a unique series because of how this series came about was two things. When I was just beginning the process of writing the book, Through the Eyes of a Lion, which will release in 2015, super excited about that. A friend of mine, we were at lunch and he spoke kind of prophetically over me. He said, And when I say that, you know, I didn't, his eyes didn't roll back. It wasn't like, I mean, we're eating bang, bang shrimp. And he's like, hey bro, did you think? And he just said this, but what I heard God speak to me.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I wanted to make sure he's prophesied over me. There was no blood involved, you know.
It's just, it's so natural when that happens.
Supernatural.
And you know
naturally.
That God's speaking directly to
he
you.
He just said it conversationally, yeah. but God's Holy Spirit said, that's for you. And that's a prophecy. And
yeah.
that's for me.
Yeah.
Anyhow, he said, Levi, you have struggled with God and man and prevailed in the difficulties you've gone through and had to go through. He goes, now you'll have to win a war within. And he said that to me, and I stopped and I was like, I need to pay you for this. I feel like that was therapy that just happened. It was unbelievable. And that, so I took that away. I wrote down what he said. And then a little while after that, we were in England for the school church tour. Mm-hmm. And we stayed at a friend of ours who runs a bank in London.
Yeah.
And we were at his house eating breakfast. Mm-hmm. And he referenced a Beats commercial, Beats headphones.
That's right.
Beats by Dre. He said, have you seen the commercial that they just did for the World Cup? And I was like, no, I haven't seen that. He's like, he pulls it out, shows it to me. And the commercial was called The Game Before the Game. And it's these athletes getting ready to play soccer, but there's Bible verses in it and some sketchy stuff. So, you know, be forewarned. But it was so moving when I watched this commercial, these guys in a locker room, and I thought, man, they take it so seriously yeah. to kick a ball through a goal that they put this pressure on preparation.
Right.
Why do we not? We're doing the most important thing anyone's ever done as right. Christians every day,
yeah.
living out this life as God's ambassador. So we should prepare. And I began to let these truths simmer. And what it boiled down to was this man versus himself idea of learning to win the war within, because we're in this constant battle, flesh and spirit. And it turned out to be a really powerful season
for our church. Yeah, so life-changing. And just the perspective, like honestly, when you were first starting like talking to me about the ideas of focusing on the mind, it just sounded so, it was like, that
cerebral.
Doesn't sound right. Like it's like, I feel like as I've grown up in the church, like it was almost like you're not, it's kind of like new agey. And like, you're telling me about Pele, like lying on the ground, putting his pillow on his head. And like, that's like visualizing. Isn't visualizing bad? Like, I feel like, I think growing up, like you just
yeah.
like, I don't know, meditating or whatever. But doing it in a way that we need, and that is glorifying to God, and that actually is helping us in our living out daily life.
And it's all biblical principles.
Yeah.
Yeah, these
and,
things, talking yeah, to
and
ourselves.
Yeah, the verses that you brought up, and it just was so perfect and made so much sense. And even, I feel like for me, like facing each day, and just the idea of looking at your day, like imagining like, what do you want for the day? Like, what is success for you? And kind of going there and asking God to lead you and preparing your mind for whatever God has for you that day. Even if, like for me, even if I'm staying home all day, teaching the girls, making meals, like what's successful for me that day? And praying and asking God to lead me and make me more like Jesus and help me be loving to my girls and my husband, like that's a successful day, and Lord, help me to do that. Like, that's preparing your mind
the Bible says,
for action.
You know, be still in your bed, meditate.
Yeah.
And it's taking these principles, thinking them through. And it's the difference between happening to your life and letting your life happen to you.
Exactly.
Because we only get one go around.
Yeah.
Well, I told you a little bit about how this series in particular came together. We wanted to show you how, if you saw that show as a kid, how a bill becomes a law. This is sort of like how an idea turns into a series of Fresh Life Church. Check this out.
It's super fascinating watching a series come to life, the birth of a series, essentially, because you have this idea or thought, but this thought somehow has to transcend cultures and time and personalities, and it has to be able to communicate a message clearly.
And sometimes, man, it's just easy. Sometimes it's like it just falls into perfect place. I know exactly how it's all gonna work. And sometimes I like to say that it's like trying to wrestle an octopus into a straitjacket in the dark. I don't know how many legs there are, and every time I try and get one down, there's like seven more that are fighting me over here. But eventually, I come up with what I believe is gonna be the series. It's slug and a general direction of where we're gonna go.
after, you know, our big brainstorm sessions, and we really land on a few solid ideas that we want to really approach and that we would like to go with, that's when, you know, we do a write-up and a creative brief, and that we'll pitch that to pastor. And sometimes when we pitch, we'll get a,
"That's good, but..."
Other times we'll get a,
"I see it, I'm like, oh my, I feel like I just met my long lost child. I've all my life been looking for you."
That's when we really know that our vision as a creative team that is supporting Pastor Levi's vision aren't two separate things, but they're actually one. We're actually communicating the same message.
So once we get that concept back and it's approved, it's finalized, really it's up to each individual person and department to really do the tasks that have been assigned to them. And in a way, that's almost the most exciting part, because before, you're working on this thing, you're really excited about it, but it's in this creative, ethereal state, and you don't really know how it's going to turn out or what it's going to look like. And you get to see this path laid out in front of you that's like, okay, if we do this thing, this is what's going to make it physically manifest itself. And so that's really cool, but it's also a little bit like, okay, I see it, that's awesome, but how do I get there?
It's always fun at the start of every series to figure out how, in the context of our worship music, how we're going to supplement the things that we're learning in these series. And it's neat to think about how these songs, that even though a series would end, these songs have the ability to carry these truths that we learn past the end of the series, that we can continue to sing these songs, and that these truths can continue to just bury deep into our hearts.
I think the best way to describe the process is it's just that, a process. And somehow or another, it always seems to come together, even down to admin people helping out on spell checks and an actor coming through on a last minute request, or even Pastor Levi or Devin giving a last second vision tweak. It all comes together and helps to have a team that doesn't shudder at the thought of late nights and likes a lot of coffee.
So we have the video team that really tries to create excitement and inspire people. And then we have the sound team that gets together and curates a playlist that fits the general vibe of the series, as well as they also score to all our films. And then you have the design team that not only finalizes the art, but makes sure that everything looks good across all platforms, from Instagram to web. And then we have the motion graphics team that comes in and just adds a little sizzle and pop. Having multiple series a year, there's always that hill to climb of finding some way to match created expectations. But I mean, just because we've done something one way before doesn't mean we're going to do it that way again. As we create, we're always trying to innovate and find new ways to do things. You know, nothing's holding us back, and there's a freedom in that.
Once all the pieces have come together and the cards have been sent out, you know, we have all the promos hitting Instagram and Twitter, and you know, the buzz is starting to get hyped up from our teasers and promos. It doesn't take its first breath until that first worship experience and pastor hits the stage and teaches the message. Because, you know, without the message, without staying true to the original heart of pastor's idea, it really is nothing more than art.
Which ties into our final series of the year.
Let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be. I am so thankful for that we got to end the year with this series. And as short and sweet as it was, so powerful, and really preparing us for whatever God has for us this next year. And it was just exciting, even looking over this past year and starting off with Running with Horses and Cream and Sugar, and just how God's favor is on us and He delights in us and all the things that He wants to do in and through us as His body. Like, knowing that there's so much anticipation and expectation and excitement for whatever He has next year, because we've seen Him do so much.
Amazing things.
We've been able to be a part of things that, like, we don't even know half. Like, we get so many stories, and we're so thankful for all the stories that we get, but we don't even know half, I don't even know
38%.
The math. But
less than 38%.
We don't know all of what God's doing, and we won't ever know until we get to heaven.
Yeah.
But it's so incredible to get to be a part of this team, to see what God has done and what He's calling us to this next year. And this series was just so great in preparing us for that, and really believing that that God wants to do great things, and He wants to move in power, and what is our faith like? What kind of faith can we bring to him and let him go crazy with and
so
just
good.
Do wild things?
And that God is speaking over our next year
yeah.
of ministry.
Yeah.
He's saying, what do you want it to be like? Because the rule of the kingdom is, let it be to you according to your
yes.
faith. If we want to receive in the new year, we must believe.
Right.
And I love that flipping of it, where we think about faith, not in terms of whatever amount of faith we have we're stuck with, but where he's saying, how much do you want to see me do?
Yeah.
Show me your faith and I'll show you great and mighty things.
Yeah, and I love how God laid on your heart for the Let It Be offering and just the excitement of getting to just plant even more
yeah.
and really put our money where our mouth is. And if we really do want to grow in faith, just getting to see even the sacrifice of offering, giving, how that's even going to launch us.
And I feel like we can never stop calling our church to radical, all-in, bet the farm, risk the ocean sacrifice,
right.
because when we look back at what we've seen him do, what were the seeds that caused that to happen?
Yeah.
It took bleeding. It took Sarah Trammell and Coy. It took Kevin and Elaine. It took people being willing to leverage their lives and into the kingdom of God
yeah.
for the Fresh Life House
yeah.
and to see him work in 10,000 plus decisions. Okay, looking forward, what's it going to take to get to where God wants us to go? It's
right.
going to take the same sacrifice.
Right.
And so if we don't continually invest in this house,
yeah.
if we're not putting new seeds into the ground, come harvest time, we're going to be disappointed.
Right.
Because we're going to not, well, why isn't God moving? Where's his favor? Where'd the honor go? And he's like, well, you stop trusting in me.
Yeah.
You stop sacrificially putting it all out there. And so I've chosen to move on and bless someone else.
Right.
And that's, so in a sense, it's up to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel like there's no better way that we could go into a new year than with this Let It Be ringing in our hearts as the anthem of this brand new season.
Right. Right.
Now, Jenny, you never asked me what my favorite preaching was of the whole year.
What was your favorite preaching of the whole year?
Well, there was this really hot preacher at our church, beautiful and
oh.
magnificent and wonderful, who preached this sermon to close out our Hug It Out series called That Worship, Though.
Oh.
And my goodness, Jenny, you shucked the corn. Thank you so much for your grace, your love, the feminine heart. The heart of a mother, this that you pour into our house, we're so thankful for you.
Thank
and you,
you
make
you
us all better.
Me.
Oh, yeah,
it was
well.
A step of faith for me, but I enjoyed it so much.
And I just want to thank you for being just easy on the eyes. So we are going to need a room after this, you and me later on. But let me say this. I can't think of a better way to end this Fresh Life Rewind, which has been so much fun, than by taking this song that we spoke about, For All the Fresh, and to think of it rising up to heavens all across the state of Montana as Shayla comes to lead every single location's band. So she'll get to sing it along with, and then each band's going to take it as we all together ask God. Our number one prayer for this new year would be, Spirit of the Living God, have your way. Have
yes.
your way in us. Thank you, Lord. Let's sing that together. Come on.
Come with a passion to celebrate the sun.
Hey, thanks so much for watching the Fresh Life 2014 Rewind. A look back on all God's done in 2014. We hope you were as blessed and encouraged by it as we were and are expecting great things from God in 2015. If while watching this message, you gave your life to Christ, number one, congratulations. Number two, we would love the opportunity to send you some helpful resources to kickstart this walk with God. Head on over to freshlifechurch.com and click the Know God button on the website. Fill out that form. We'd love to send you a Bible, some teachings, and really just encourage you as you start this new journey. If you've been impacted in any way while watching this, click the Share Your Story button on the website. We would love to hear about it. It really encourages us and it's fuel for the fire for our team and staff. If you'd like to partner with us financially, head on over to freshlifechurch.com and click the Give button. There, it'll take you to a safe and secure form where you can set up a reoccurring or one-time donation to the work that God is doing here at Fresh Life. Once again, thanks so much for watching the Fresh Life 2014 Rewind.